Welcome to the podcast all about women's wealth. Women's wealth is growing faster than men's. As women in the next generation rise in financial power, women will fundamentally change the meaning of legacy. Women as singles, mothers, wives, or widows not only need access to a full continuum of opportunities to save, invest, and preserve financial assets, they also need access to financial education and coaching, coupled with affordable and appropriate savings and credit building products at key times in their lives. Join us on Women Acquiring Assets and learn the stepping stones to home ownership, investment properties, cryptocurrency, business development, and learn all about saving stocks and so much more. Let's grow our networks together.
Women's Inflection Point is a nonprofit, educational, and results-driven entity providing women a success path to reach maximum potential in each of their life cycle stages. Women's Inflection Point focuses on three tiers of Maslow's hierarchy of needs pyramid: human wellness, safety, and self-actualization. In other words, we focus on your health, your money, and yourself. An inflection point is an event that results in dramatic and significant change. Our mission is to facilitate occurrences of inflection points that activate unleashed potential to propel women to reach their maximum potential in all aspects of their life. These occurrences are delivered at events throughout the year in organic and diverse, inclusive environments. For more information, visit us at www.womeninflectionpoint.org.
Welcome back to Women Acquiring Assets. I'm Annika Jackson, and I'm here with Sam Browning. Hi, Sam. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. My pleasure. You have such an interesting background. So you're a mental health therapist. Mm-hmm. You also do coaching. You have a book. You're very multifaceted. So first, let's talk about your mental health expertise. How did you decide to get into that field?
So interesting enough, my undergrad major was public relations and advertising. But when I graduated from undergrad, it was right during the recession. Mm. And so finding a job was really, really hard. And so I ended up working part-time at a counseling agency. And I was like, oh, you can get paid to do this? I really didn't, you know, with that part-time, some of the therapists that were working part-time, so I decided to go to school. And so I was in school, and from there, just the fact that I had been already working in the field, I just kept the momentum going. So I've been working in the field of mental health now for at least the past 10 years.
Wow, that's amazing. And you haven't specialized in one niche. I see you worked with kids, you've worked with veterans. Mm-hmm.
When I started working in the field, I had a passion for the kids, like, oh my goodness. And so I was interning at a safe shelter for neglected and abused children. Wow. So I would do the intakes for the kids that were coming in. And I did play therapy. I did family therapy, group therapy. And from there, after that, I started working with children. Again, same population, neglected and abused. And then I started working part-time for a hospital. So then I started getting exposure with dealing with people with complex levels of mental health trauma. Mm. And worked with population with HIV and AIDS. And so ultimately I had an opportunity to work specifically with veterans with PTSD. And that's where I've been for the past 3 years.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm sure the stories that you hear, whoo.
It is interesting. One day is never alike. That's what I always tell people.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. And you've also talked about the underdeveloped side of mental health. Mm-hmm. And I think this is something that a lot of people are starting to realize and talk about, especially after the pandemic. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
I honestly, if you were to ask me, they're going to have to eventually change the definition in the DSM of post-traumatic stress, because to some degree, due to this pandemic, we're all dealing with some level of trauma, anxiety as a result. Even when people start to get vaccinated about what's safe, what's not safe, how should I go out, when should I go out, is it safe to go out? So I feel that mental health is an underdeveloped field, and I definitely am thankful, even though it's kind of a double-edged sword, but for this opportunity for us to really get some deep digging and to normalize people going to counseling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I mean, that's something also in many of our cultures, it's not okay to talk about your feelings. It's not okay to talk about what you're going through emotionally and how that's affecting you mentally, physically, every other aspect of your life, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, especially, yeah, I know, because I'm in the Asian community, you just smile, you don't talk about any feelings. And then also in the African-American community, it's not normalized to go to see a therapist.
Absolutely. And I think that that's the thing. We have that stigma of the strong Black woman. And I'm like, I'm 145 pounds. I can't bench press a Buick. I'm not strong by that literal sense. But it's like, because we're just sweeping things up and you just deal with it. But it's like, that's what kind of led me to writing. Because it's like, for the longest, I didn't lead with my trauma. I'm like, I'm perfect. Everything's okay. My childhood wasn't traumatic. But it's like, in all actuality, I was ashamed of my story. And it's like, I had to realize that was important for me to get in front of that story and tell it, because it's like more people than not can relate to it.
And yeah. So you're teasing that out a little bit, but I'd love to talk about that a little more. Anything that you're willing to share with our audience about your story and how that helped create who you are today, and then talk about your book.
Sure. So one of the first things I talk about in the book is the fact that one of the first men that a little girl's supposed to fall in love with is her father. And my father wasn't around to sign my birth certificate. So that name that should be there on your birth certificate about the first man that you should love was not there, because he was actually in prison for selling drugs when I was born. And my mom dealt with her own addictions. And so I ended up being raised by my cousin. And how I sometimes will just say my mom, but I won't tell people that it's like, oh, the cousin that raised me, that mom, or my biological mom, when I talk about my mom. But it's like, once I went to college, like, that's kind of how I went through things. It's like, instead of dealing with my reality, how most people don't really even associate the fact that Black people read. Like, for me, it's like, that was my escape from reality, was reading. I would read a book and just dive into whoever the character was. R.L. Stein was one of my favorite authors growing up. So I read like the Goosebumps, and I was big into that. But that's how I escaped what was going on in front of me, was just to get into a book. And so reading became my escape from reality, and understanding as well that as I told my story and I was talking to other people in college and just in general, that I'm like, that were also like, yeah, I kind of went through the same thing. And so people think of PTSD, especially trauma, as just people associated with the military. When I'm like, you don't understand that, you know, seeing people being shot, seeing guns, being in stuff like that is something that is normalized in some degree in some communities, especially in urban communities. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, that's not normal. Mm-hmm. And that needs to be also addressed and talked about. And especially with how addiction, that not only affects the person that has the addiction problem, but it also affects the loved ones.
Absolutely.
So normalizing addiction as well.
Wow. And what is your book called?
My book is called You Are the Upgrade, A Guide for Self-Love While Dating in Your 30s. And I know that's a really long title, but it's like, you know, due to quarantine, I was really stuck at home, and I'm single. So it's like, okay, well, you're at home, you're not dating. And so it's like, that's a great opportunity for you to think, like, what's wrong with why do you suck at dating? And I know it's like, you know, why would I say I suck? Because no, I don't have a problem finding people to date. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I had to think about what are patterns that I'm repeating, and where do they come from that lead to me picking the type of guys that I tend to date? Mm-hmm. And so I started out wanting to be just about dating in your 30s and how dating in your 30s sucks. Because we live in this instant society of swipe and replace, where right. Things don't work between you and the partner, as opposed to like my grandparents who were married before my grandmother died for 48 years. You know, they don't, your TV goes out, you take it to the TV repair shop. You know, they don't replace things as easily. Like, I have to force my father to please get rid of this because it's old. But it's like, that's where they would do, whereas we're like, oh, well, that phone, that's not the iPhone 12, so it's time to replace it. Or, you know, that screen's broken, it's broken, you can't fix it, just replace it. Mm-hmm. And so I feel that with dating, that's what it's become too, is that we don't try to fix situations, we just replace the person when we find out it doesn't work.
I know this is something that we connected on the first time we spoke, is because my whole 20s and up to my early 40s, I was, you know, with the same person. And so I had to learn how to date when we got divorced. And exactly what you're talking about, like, and also thinking about things like how you really want to show up, but how you want the other person to really show up for you, right? Mm-hmm. So that list that I had in my early 20s of the things that I wanted is totally different now, because I'm like, oh, you know, I was like superficial, like somebody who knows how to treat somebody, because I was tired of like being early 20s and going to a bar and somebody didn't know how to buy a drink or how to treat me like a lady. Or just like, you know, went from like that and like, oh, has a good job, owns a home, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, those are things can be important, but the qualities of the person are so much more important, right? And
yes.
I love that you talk through in your book about what is really important, but also what your triggers and what your things are, because it took me a long time to figure out what my patterns were and to break those. And it is so different when you show up in a relationship with somebody and you're both like, okay, we're in, we're making this work, we believe in each other. We might have some issues, but we're not going to do that swipe and, you know, just say goodbye. So what are some of the, have you been dating during the pandemic?
Honestly, since I put my soul into the book, I have not been dating at all. I'm kind of, now that I'm done, I'm like, okay, do I want to give this a try again or not? I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence on if I'm going to try it again, but at least now, I'm going back into dating with knowing what patterns not to repeat. One of my favorite quotes by Albert Einstein is the definition of insanity, which is repeating the same patterns and expecting different results. And so I'm realizing that it's like, okay, you can't continue to try to find that person that's broken and try to relate to their trauma. And, you know, you need to find somebody that is healed from their trauma or is whole, and not necessarily look for someone that you have to fix, because the therapeutic side of me, you know, wants to kumbaya and heal the world, make it a better place like Michael Jackson. But I'm like, you know, I need you to also show up for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful. And I think that the pandemic, I mean, I know a couple of people who were just starting to date people and they tried quarantining together. It did not work. And then I know other people who got a lot stronger during the pandemic because they realized, yeah, this actually does work. And like you, I have friends who didn't date the whole time. And now they're like, well, what, you know, do I want to start dating? How does dating look now? Because it did change also, like where you were just seeing somebody on screen, not necessarily meeting in person. If your city wasn't open. Uh-huh. So, and this book is available now on Amazon and everywhere.
Yes. Yes. It's available on Amazon right now, but I'm definitely looking to, expand my exposure.
Nice. And are you talking to, like different groups, women's groups and book clubs and doing readings and using it as a tool as well?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That has been my, thing to get my name as well as my book. I'm definitely in some circles that I'm in now, but I'm definitely wanting to expand to other groups. So definitely that is how I'm interested in growing.
Awesome. I love that you are able to use your therapy background and your marketing and PR backgrounds and your dating experience to create this amazing tool for everybody. And then you also have a women empowerment and coaching group.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
So me wanted to do the Women Empowerment and Coaching Group, and it definitely just came from the fact that with me going to college, I feel like I was afforded an opportunity to learn things, learn about presentation, learning about PR, learning about speaking, how to publicly engage with people. And I feel that there are a lot of people that want to be entrepreneurs, but they aren't necessarily groomed in mannerisms or ways of in a professional setting. Mm-hmm. So I call it a diamond mate life, because again, the best diamonds are always made in the rough.
Mm.
So just allowing women entrepreneurs that want to expand their brand, but they need to be polished a little bit more.
Awesome. I love that. And has that program launched?
That program is in the process of being launched, but it's not on full launch. It's still in exploration mode right now.
Okay. Very cool. And I love, because that's something that anybody can do anywhere in the world with you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In a virtual world. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what else do you want to share with our audience today?
What do I want to share with the audience? I think the bigger thing is to find out that with whatever your audience, I feel that introspection is a big part. Mm-hmm. To find out, to be able to look within yourself. And I'm not sure exactly what the women, especially that women are wanting to go into this era of self woman empowerment, but at the same time, understanding where you're weak so that how you can, with that empowerment, ways that you can improve yourself. Like for me, for instance, speaking in my power. Like, again, I was ashamed of my story. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to tell a lot of people, like, you know, that my father was in jail or my mom used to do drugs. But I'm like, you know, that also, if I wouldn't have went through this, had this upbringing, this childhood, would I, on the other end, be the person I am now?
Right.
And yeah. Be able to appreciate the things or work harder. My ethic comes from that. So I feel that with any women that listen to you and are in your group or in the, just with your following, to help them to understand this, just living your truth.
Yeah.
Because that's also your power.
It is. It is. And I love that you're now finding ways to share your story and turning it into from a place of pain to mm-hmm. a place of strength.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's what I think it's something that we all have to go through. And we don't even realize, like you said, a diamond in the rough, diamond made life. You don't even understand that, like, the things that we all experienced growing up, we all had different struggles, but that is what made us who we are today.
Yeah, but we just see the shiny and sparkly part.
Right.
Is what we focus on. You know, she's shiny and sparkly, so she must be great. But you don't know the pain in the background. What's mm-hmm. one of those underlayers? And the diamonds that we cultivate, you know, most of them are blood diamonds. You know, there are people out there that work really hard to make sure that they're able to produce that. So just knowing that there's power in your pain.
Yeah.
And I think it's also important to consider going forward is just ways that you can heal. Because I think we can talk about, okay, I've been hurt, but it's like, there's a difference between, do you want to live in this hurt? And just, some people are okay with that. That's all they want to do. One of my favorite movies, and that's a lot of things, again, books or movies are kind of my thing, but it's this movie Inside Out, where it talks about the different layers of emotion.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, if you continue to live in that blue, that depression part, then it's like, you'll never move forward. Like, you know, Eeyore from,
Piglet
and Winnie the Pooh, like Eeyore, you know, some people don't want to be around Eeyore because Eeyore's always in that sad down part. But it's like, you know, you don't want to also be Tigger where you're too energetic, where you're always showing emotions, but living in that balance where it's like, you know, when should I share and when should I kind of hold some things to myself? Because that's also where it can be hurt. It's like when you're too emotionally just available, you're too emotionally showing yourself, as opposed to knowing when to be open, when to open your book, when to open that chapter, and who to be willing to share that chapter with. And now I'm finally at a point where I'm willing to share this chapter to other people because it can't hurt me anymore.
Yeah.
When before, it's like, I felt that people, once they learn those parts of me, can come back and like say mean things to me to hurt me. But I'm like, you can't hurt me anymore about my past, because it is what it is, but I live in it now.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that sharing your story and sharing your truth and feeling confident in that also helps you see other people for who they really are and how they show up back to you, right? Who's yeah. really in your corner and who's not. And thinking Absolutely. About using your introspection and your thoughts around that. I know that was one of the things when I started dating again and trying to figure out how to date was, I realized like going out on these dates was more about me and figuring out what I would stand for and what I wanted in a relationship, and being able to say, you know what, I don't want a second date with that person, or, oh, this isn't working for me, or, you know, no, that, okay, this text message is getting weird. I'm not even going to talk to that person anymore. And really fine tuning, right? What you need in a partner. And that's, yeah. And I think we forget that sometimes especially as women, we want to please other people. We have this mentality. We just have to say, yes, yes, we can get that done, or whatever it is in work or in life or in dating or whatever. And we have to know how to put our feet down as well and say, this is not going to work for us. This does not serve our purpose. And so, yeah,
absolutely. And that's where it became with the acronym for me with UPGRADE. Mm. It's like, you know, unleash your prerogative, gravitate, show resilience, align, define, and exude. Because it's like, first, with unleashing, you have to be able to know who to feel comfortable with showing your emotions. And it's like also being able to, especially with dating, being able to figure out, can this person handle emotionally where I am right now? Be it a good place or a bad place, wherever it is, can they accept me from where I am? Mm-hmm. Like how you mentioned when you're like with you, should I give this person a second date? Like by me telling them this or sharing whatever it is that you're sharing with them, do I feel that this is a person that I can allow know more about me, mm-hmm. get digging deeper because of emotionally I'm being in a vulnerable space. And then with your prerogative, that's something that I deal with too, Anika, is the fact that I'm a people pleaser. So allowing a person to operate in your space longer than they should have, especially with dating, because you don't want to be mean and say, no, I don't think we're going to work out.
Yeah.
So me doing that is definitely something I want to do more of. And then to gravitate, like the fact that with dating, I realized I was living on my own island where it's like, you know, a lot of my friends are married or in serious relationships. So I'm the single friend that they want to call and hang out with, and you know, I'm the fun guy. When it's just like dating is its own struggle. So it's like I had to also start to surround myself with other single women that are also dating.
Yeah.
Yes. What were you gonna say?
Oh no, that's just a really good point, is actually surrounding yourself with other people who are in the same boat. You can mm-hmm. create stories, share things, share practices.
Yes. And the next part about upgrade is resilience. Just sometimes some dates aren't going to go so well. And sometimes you're not going to get a phone call back when you really maybe did like that person. Mm-hmm. But your resilience is the ability to bounce back in situations that were meant to hurt you. So, you know, when that relationship that didn't go well and you had to take your time to heal from that. You know, sometimes people are quick to jump into another relationship because you don't want to be alone. But it's like, sometimes I would rather be alone than to be with somebody and they don't deserve my company.
Yeah.
And definitely, again, align yourself spiritually. I hear that that phrase a lot now with like spiritual aligning your chakras and all of that. But I feel that in the end, whoever you worship, Buddha, Jesus, Yahweh, Beyonce, whoever that person is for you, it's like, you know, spiritually that inner voice that's telling you, is this a good person for me? And I think that's where I wasn't listening to that voice. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the good angel and the bad angel, you're so yes. on your shoulder. They're like, okay, not okay. So I was like, shut up, good angel. You're not telling me what I need to hear. Or sometimes with the bad angel, when it's like, maybe I do need to be more vocal and state what I don't like about what you're mm-hmm. saying or doing. Mm-hmm. So it's an equal balance in that. So I think align is also aligning yourself in that way. And then defining, like you're talking about, defining what it looks like to date me, defining who I am with dating, defining who I am as an individual and what am I looking for. And then just being able to exude your happiness, your energy, whatever it is that you want the world to know, exude it without having to feel that you need to be a different person than who you are already.
I love that. And so do you walk through all of these in the book?
Yes.
Yes. Nice. Something you said about the good angel, bad angel, and just trusting your gut instinct. I have been in relationships where I did not trust, I didn't listen to myself. And if I had, then so much would be different, right, in my life. Those are those relationships you kind of just want to forget ever happened and like not talk about again ever. So you pour a lot into other people with your therapy, with writing the book, with starting this new program to help women entrepreneurs. But how do you balance and take care of yourself?
Time management has been a big one. Mm. And that's something that before I sucked at, and I actually was still trying to get better with it, but time management has been one. And then the second one will probably be watching TV. Like when I find that time to watch television and the shows that I do like, that's my happy place. And reading, again, my happy places. Going to brunch, making time for friends and family.
Yeah.
Those are the things that kind of make me happy. Yeah. Especially brunch with some good mimosas.
Oh, yes. That sounds delightful. Especially as the world is opening up. Well, I know you're in Atlanta.
Yes.
So y'all have been open. And have you seen things change with mental health in your field as well, the kind of clients you're getting or how you're able to interact with clients because of the pandemic and now that things are opening back up and coming back to normal?
I think it was a blessing on two levels, because number one, people are now more willing to seek therapy, be it for those people that used to say, well, I can't go to therapy because I work, or I don't want to have to drive, so forth and so on. I have kids. But so I feel that allowing the virtual world to open up has been helpful, because now more people have access. Now more people are willing to seek additional resources. The other side is, especially with veterans who already struggle with isolation, spending long amounts of time in the house alone has been triggering for a lot of individuals. So being able to engage in those ways with veterans that are home alone a lot is something that's definitely needed.
Wonderful. And for charities, because I also have to talk about what charities you support and how they go with your work, or just how they're another passion point. So you support the National Urban League?
Yes.
Wonderful. And what are some of the things that you like to do the most? And tell us more about, for anybody who's listening who might not know what the Urban League is.
So the National Urban League, a big thing about what they do is help to support small businesses and helping as it pertains to business education, business resources, helping to financial literacy, helping just children that want to be go to college, and just in general, community support and engagement.
Wonderful. And then another one that you like to support is the National Alliance on Mental Illness.
NAMI, which is just in general, hey, putting that out there, that mental health, that's that one thing that we, again, like to sweep under the rug, and we don't want to admit that it exists. And we label mental health as people that need to be in a jacket holding themselves. But to some degree, we all need to hold ourselves a little bit. But I mean, you know, be that a hug, or be that, you know, holding your tongue, be that holding that thought, be that holding out from allowing somebody into your space that maybe doesn't belong there. But just normalizing what that looks like. So definitely grateful that we were all, not grateful because it is kind of, this was still a pandemic, but the fact that we all had to deal with our mental health in this space now, we can all say in one way or another that we have been affected, and not just medically, because people think about medicine or health as just your body, but your body also involves the thing that you can't see, which is your brain and your emotions and your thoughts. So realizing that they exist is what matters as well.
Yeah. Wonderful. So how would somebody listening find you on social media? What's your website? How do we find your book?
Yes, yes, yes. So I am It Sambrero on all platforms. That's I-T-T-I-T-S-S-A-M. D-R-E-R-O is like the hat, but with the A, not an O. No, I'm not Hispanic. Long story. So I'm It Sambrero on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Pretty much my website is It Sambrero. So also, as it pertains to my book is available on Amazon. It is available on in hard copy as well as e-read, so through Kindle. And I'm in the process of also making it on audiobook, but that is going to be to be determined. But yeah, and I'm looking to expand it to make it available in other arenas. But this is my first time just jumping off the porch with writing the book. So
I love that. Well, I'm definitely going to be getting a copy of You Are the Upgrade, A Guide for Self-Love While Navigating Dating in Your 30s. I also know that, I mean, this podcast episode is going to be released in May, which is Mental Health Awareness.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. So I would love to hear any last thoughts you have for our audience on entrepreneurship, on dating, on mental health, on any topic, you know, or all three of them.
As it pertains to entrepreneurship, I would say the bigger thing is not give up, to stay strong and stay committed, to connect yourself with resources and like-minded people. I recently read a quote that if you're the strongest person, I mean, the smartest person in the room, maybe you're in the wrong room. So there's always an opportunity for us to grow and learn new ideas and new skill sets. So continue to grow. For the person that's considering, you mentioned dating, book writing, and it was three.
Oh, mental health.
Mental health. For the person that is interested in learning more about mental health, please don't feel that you have to be ashamed of reaching out. The one thing that I always say is like on a flight attendant, when they do the demonstration, you always put your mask first before assisting someone else with theirs. And I know as women, we are caregivers by instinct, so you always want to help someone else, but it's okay to ask for help when you need it. And as it pertains to dating, don't give up. You know, I say put it out into the atmosphere what you want, because one day it's going to come your way. So don't give up and don't lose hope on finding the love that you deserve.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. And thanks to our audience for listening. We'll be back again next week with another episode of Women Acquiring Assets.
Hi, this is Annika Jackson. At Annika PR, we provide public relations strategy, content marketing, and brand and design services. We are gifted with the ability to draw excitement to an event, brand, or concept. Don't just take our word for it. See our clients' work in Forbes, CNN, Amazon TV shows, and much more. Want your brand amplified? Go to AnnikaPR.com. That's AnnikaPR.com.
Well, that's it for this episode. To learn more about who we are and what we do, visit www.womeninflectionpoint.org/WAA. If you have anything you'd like to share, Annika would love to hear from you. And she can be reached at info@womeninflectionpoint.org. Be sure to tune in every week for another episode and learn more about how financial assets are a store of resources that women and families can tap into, particularly during emergencies, and how wealth can provide a nest egg that can be leveraged into investments like a home, an investment property, or a business, and then can be passed on to future generations. Thank you so much for listening. See you next time.